The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, a spiritual fable about fulfilling your dreams and reaching your destiny. Read by Robin S. Sharma. The wake-up call. He collapsed right in the middle of a packed courtroom. He was one of this country's most distinguished trial lawyers. He was also a man well known for the $3,000 Italian suits which draped his well-fed frame, as for his remarkable string of legal victories. I simply stood there, paralyzed by the shock of what I just witnessed. The great Julian Mantle had been reduced to a victim and was now squirming on the ground like a helpless infant, shaking and shivering like a maniac. I had known Julian for 17 years. We had first met when I was a young law student hired as a summer research intern. Back then, he'd had it all. He was a brilliant, handsome, and fearless trial attorney with dreams of greatness. Julian was the firm's young star. He was tough, hard-driving, and willing to work 18-hour days for the success he believed was his destiny. Julian's outrageous courtroom theatrics regularly made the front pages of the newspapers. His extracurricular activities were probably as well known. Late-night visits to the city's finest restaurants with sexy young fashion models, or reckless drinking escapades became the stuff of legend. I still can't figure out why he picked me to work with him on that sensational murder case he was to argue that first summer. Though I had graduated from Harvard Law School, his alma mater, I certainly wasn't the brightest intern at the firm. At Julian's invitation, I stayed on at the firm as an associate, and a lasting friendship quickly developed between us. I will admit that he wasn't the easiest lawyer to work with. Serving as his junior was often an exercise in frustration, leading to more than a few late-night shouting matches. However, beneath his crusty exterior was a person who clearly cared about people. No matter how busy he was, he would always ask about Jenny, the woman I still call my bride. On finding out that I was in a financial squeeze, Julian arranged for me to receive a generous scholarship. Sure, he could play hardball with the best of them, but he never neglected his friends. The real problem was that Julian was obsessed with work. For the first few years, he justified his long hours by saying that he was doing it for the good of the firm. As time passed, Julian's reputation for brilliance spread and his workload continued to increase. In his rare moments of quiet, he confided that he could no longer sleep for more than a couple of hours without waking up feeling guilty that he was not working on a file. It soon became clear to me that he was being consumed by the hunger for more. More prestige, more glory, and more money. As expected, Julian became enormously successful. He achieved everything most people could ever want: a stellar professional reputation with an income in seven figures, a spectacular mansion, a private jet, and his prized possession, a shiny red Ferrari parked in the center of his driveway. At 53 years of age, Julian looked as if he was in his late 70s. His face was a mass of wrinkles, a less than glorious tribute to his take-no-prisoners approach to life in general, and to the tremendous stress of his out-of-balance lifestyle in particular. His late-night dinners in expensive French restaurants, smoking thick Cuban cigars and drinking cognac after cognac, had left him embarrassingly overweight. He constantly complained that he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. Julian's once enthusiastic nature had been replaced by a deathly somberness. Personally, I think that his life had lost all sense of purpose. Almost every day he would tell me that he felt no passion for what he was doing and was enveloped by emptiness. Julian said that as a young lawyer, he really loved the law. The law's complexities and intellectual challenges had kept him spellbound and full of energy. Its power to affect social change inspired and motivated him. That vision gave his life meaning. It gave him a purpose and it fueled his hopes. There was even more to Julian's undoing than a rusty connection to what he did for a living. He had suffered some great tragedy before I had joined the firm. Something truly unspeakable had happened to him, but I couldn't get anyone to open up about it. Whatever this deep, dark secret was, I had a suspicion that it in some way was contributing to Julian's downward spiral. Sure, I was curious, but most of all, I wanted to help him. He was not only my mentor, he was my best friend. And then it happened, this massive heart attack brought the brilliant Julian Mantle back down to earth and reconnected him to his mortality.